Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Little play button, see what that does. Okay. And I'll press this button here.
Hello, Egg Chasers. It's the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast, the podcast about rugby that doesn't take itself or the game too seriously. And not only is the World Cup getting closer, but this is the final podcast before our live show at Twickenham. So we should... Well, we'll get through this podcast first, then we should probably actually talk about what we're going to do.
Yeah, because I have no idea. No.
Can we do the off-air, please?
Yes.
Make us sound more professional.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Good call, Phil. That's JB right there.
Hello, Tim.
Phil there.
Hello, Tim.
Phil looking like a boy band member today, don't you reckon, JB?
He looks great.
Black jeans, white t-shirt. Nice.
Very
and simple.
Boy band.
Black trainers, black sneakers.
Harmonising.
precisely.
And I want to know if this has got anything to do with rugby, the fact that I follow JB down the stairs to the rugby dungeon. It's like my granddad used to walk downstairs.
It has everything to do with rugby. I played second competitive game this season. Cup game against Bolton.
Well, and competitive inverted commas.
Competitive, yeah, exactly. An actual cup game this one was. And
the season's properly started in August. What's going on?
The cup game's due and then you've got a week off and then the season really gets into it. I'll tell you this much. I won't be tackling low again. So I attempted to tackle low on a fly half, who's a very good player, but he's not a big boy, not by any stretch. And I was simultaneously knocked out. Was I knocked out bad? Yeah, I'd say I was knocked out. Very dazed. And somehow damaged my knee. So I think I've got some sort of meniscus-y type thing going on.
Were you specifically trying to tackle low?
I was, actually. I was. Because
you were safer.
Yeah. So the first time I've ever been concussed that I know of. Obviously, didn't tell anyone.
In an effort to tackle lower, were you trying to tackle lower because that's a directive you've been told to
do?
Yeah,
because we were sort of like below the armpits, and I'm naturally quite a high tackler, so I'm like, right, I'll hit him nice and low, and I got absolutely wiped out. So here is my advice, my sage advice to anyone who has played the game for any period of time. It doesn't matter if you get a yellow card; continue to go high because otherwise you'll have a head injury.
Your conclusive study of one low tackle and one head injury.
Yeah. At this level, mate, we're just not designed to go low, especially big boys like me.
Big boys who don't bend their legs or back.
You're like Michelle Obama said recently.
And what did she say?
They go low, we go high.
Yeah.
That's you.
Very, very.
That
very,
could be part
true.
Of your manifesto for JB 2020.
Hold that. I'm going to write that down.
I suppose. We're at Twickenham HQ next week. JB would love to be an RFU councillor.
I would.
And get access to all of that lovely...
expenditure.
All those expenses, which despite the cuts in the RFU at all levels...
have remained remarkably consistent, the expenditure, which is great news for
me. I know, the guys that benefit from those from those expenses, amazingly, voted to keep them, but cut everything else.
Keep the five-star hotels, keep the champagne, keep the luxury meals.
Keep the luxury travel.
Michelin-star meals, first class travel, of course.
Plus the luxury plus one, which I assume is meant to be for your wife, but I'm not, I can only assume it's not always used for wives. Hey, I will give you whatever you want, regardless of whatever I've promised previous to that to anyone else.
Right. So the road to JB becoming an RFU councillor starts next Saturday at Twickenham, where we will also have our live podcast, a World Cup preview, no less. England play on the Friday night against Italy and Newcastle, then fly off to Japan. All the games will have been done in the preparation for Japan 2019, and we'll be there at Twickenham. We've got a load of people coming down already to see us and a bunch of other brilliant podcasts that are going to be there as well, including Will Greenwood. We'll be watching the Ireland-Wales round two match. We'll get into round one in a little bit. We'll watch that in an interlude between all the podcasts. It's podcastlive.com. If you're at a loose end on Saturday, the 7th of September, and you're anywhere near or can be anywhere near Twickenham HQ, then come along to the newly refurbished East Stand for Podcast Live, where we will be. That's podcastlive.com. Make sure you tick us as your preferred podcast. The only way you can guarantee to get a seat for our podcast, but go and see all of them, have a whole day of rugby, maybe a couple of cheeky Negronis on the Thames afterwards.
Delicious.
Podcastlive.com. It's your last chance. I do believe there's some pretty good ticket offers on as well, if you get on there.
I saw a rugby team in a very unusual place this Tuesday. Would anyone like to guess where I saw a rugby team?
On Tuesday.
That might be a bit of a giveaway for you, Phil.
Now, I do know you were on a RAF battleship or a aircraft carrier.
That is exactly where it was.
So they were dining in the officers' reception afterwards?
No, they were in
afterwards.
Full kit. Trainers, admittedly.
Oh, because, that's not full kit, is it?
That's not quite full kit. Nearly full kit. And there's a handful of rugby players on the decks of HMS Queen Elizabeth.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, why?
When you say rugby players, you mean the Navy rugby players? Or?
Yeah, as in the ship's rugby team were out in force.
Okay, right.
So apparently they had a game that night against a local team in Portsmouth or Southampton or maybe further afield. But they did have a game, so that's important.
That's impressive.
Was it an aircraft carrier? Or?
It's very
one
much.
One of our two,
yes. HMS Queen Elizabeth, we went there to interview the people that run the air operations. You can hear that interview on pilot episodes, my other podcast.
So we have two because one at any given time needs to be docked, getting refurbishments and stuff.
Yeah, technically.
Am I right, France have only got one?
Correct, yeah. So they go like years without an aircraft carrier. Now, you should really have three. But the way the MOD ordered it, right, or the way the Navy ordered it, the Navy said we need aircraft carrier capability constantly. That does not mean one carrier or two carriers or three carriers. It means the ability to put out a carrier whenever. Traditionally, you'd always say you want three carriers, out, one getting refitted, one in reserve. But we have two. So it'll be interesting to see how we do it, but we will, because they are remarkable people that are on that carrier who are remarkably resourceful. So,
how many people on that carrier? I know we're not talking about rugby here.
Yeah.
I mean, I like your effort to tie it to rugby with mentioning the Navy's rugby team. That's great.
Well,
but
I can tell you. So on a ship of that size, an equivalent ship, say Nimitz class ship, it would be 5,000. We have 1,500-ish staff or crew on that ship.
The question I was going to ask, finished my sentence, was
sorry.
How many people on that carrier are wearing aviator shades? mirrored.
That's a great question. Well, when we were there, there's only a few of the flying staff there, if that's what you call them, and they were not wearing aviators. One of my friends, Duncan, was actually in aviators, who was on the podcast. But like, that's what he wears all the time.
Whether he's on when he's working down the gym, in the shower.
Yep.
Right. As for rugby, obviously we're going to talk about Ireland Wales in a moment. The Wales World Cup squad that's been announced. More kits that have been unveiled. Phil's done us a good little running order. Anything I've missed off that list, Phil?
The other squad, so the New Zealand squad, is important.
It is important.
The world rankings world rankings got another mention this week with P Show.
Crikey! Yeah. Why is this?
Gus P Show, who suddenly has an issue with world rankings
after Wales
get there.
Yeah.
He hates the Northern Hemisphere. It appears.
It was. We might as well get into that because that's only a brief thing, and that does lead us onto Wales quite nicely, and the New Zealand squad. We could talk about that with. But so he has said that he thinks it's nonsense and it's all maths. Which we spoke about this last week or 2 weeks ago, and I think so. I've kind of furthered my thinking on this a little bit. I think broadly it is a good reflection of the position of the teams in the world at the moment. I think there are a number of teams who on any given day can beat each other. South Africa, New Zealand, Wales I think can beat pretty much any team, although they haven't beaten New Zealand since the 70s.
Yeah.
Ireland, England, potentially even France.
I think there's a lot of teams that you'd say they'd be favourites at home.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah, yeah.
Most teams in the world.
Yeah. And when you go to a neutral venue, when you've got seven games, if you get to the final, seven games in a six-week period, when you are going to see injuries and squad stretched to their limit, you're going to see unusual conditions, you're going to see high humidity and high temperatures. I think there are a number of teams that can win it, and I think the rankings do reflect that. the one point, and I think it was made by Ben Ryan on Twitter.
Iron Lion Ben Ryan.
Zion Lion Ben Ryan. The man. He said, and I think this is right, you should either freeze the rankings or devalue the ranking points when you're in World Cup warm-ups. Because teams play... So different teams are at different stages of building during these games. So like the England-Ireland game, you saw two teams that were at different stages in their progression through their pre-season, effectively. Mm-hmm. So that game, that 50-point win for England, shouldn't carry the same weight as England's win in Dublin in the Six Nations, which was a much more significant game for both teams. I think they should still add something.
Yeah.
Do you not think we're just missing the point a bit on the world rankings, which is, you know, as like the old Big Breakfast quizzes, don't call in, it's just for fun. It is just for fun. Like, it's just something to tie you over between international tournaments.
Yeah, and as Phil said last week, the only time it actually matters is about 18 Seedings. Months out from a World Cup.
Which actually is when it's most accurate, probably.
Probably.
Because it's not very accurate now.
Well,
it's post-World Cup, you've got a few bits and pieces, and it doesn't matter, that's the thing. Like, how boring must you be to go on Twitter and say, the world rankings like aren't really... Yeah. I'm just... Delete. Well, I'm going to put it on my filter alongside mental health, which is world rankings and, you know, whatever it is will not come up on my feed anymore.
Pichot brought it up specifically... I know, admittedly, he was asked a question about it, but he specifically said he doesn't like it. He thinks it's maths.
I have never, ever thought of consulting the world rankings for anything other than in quizzes that we played on here.
So
that's it.
There was a good blog post by, I'm just looking for it, so a guy called Dave Thomas on Twitter.
Yes, I did see he's done a blog post. Of course I didn't read it, because I don't find this interesting in the slightest.
So I do find it quite interesting.
Is that the one that had a graph with a line of best fit?
It did have
a graph. Yeah, I knew you'd be all over that, Phil.
I'm sure, but it's not a reflection on Dave, or I'm sure his excellent blog either. It's just, I find this so dull.
So I find this quite interesting, because this was looking back historically through previous World Cups and how accurate have world rankings at that point in time been at predicting matches. And there is good correlation between world ranking position and winners in the game, to the point where I think he said there's 1 point in world rankings additional gives a 2.4-point advantage to that team in the game. So it's... Now, no one is going to say, oh, well, Fiji are currently above Argentina in the world rankings, therefore Fiji are going to win, because it's a two-horse race and there are failures with the world rankings. It's not a perfect predictor, but it's quite a useful thing and it's quite an interesting thing.
It's just fun, isn't it?
So just writing it off as... It is fun, you're right. You should not be relying exactly as that as the perfect model for predicting. Yeah. That would be ludicrous.
Otherwise, you wouldn't bother with the World Cup.
Yeah, no. Equally.
You should have the Webb Ellis Trophy, Wales.
Yeah, Wales do it now. Wales
well, actually,
now.
There but is a cup equally. Which sort of does things similar. What? I mean, also, look, the JB Cup is the only thing that matters between World Cups. Who? And that's what it does. It kind of fits this.
Well, that's irrelevant of who plays against who.
I'll get the staff to find out for you. I'll get my people.
Right, here's something related to the World Cup then, just a very brief interlude. The ITV promos for the World Cup have happened, and they use very much an anime style, video game style, which you can understand with Japan.
When's the last time that you Googled anime, Tim? Actually, let's not talk about it.
And the music they use is much more contemporary than it has been previously. Johnny May features as a transformer.
Cool. More for that. Like when he transformed into a flanker.
So that's apparently that's called Goku by Jaden Smith.
Like that.
Which
good.
Just I'm
Hang
thinking
on. Jaden I'm, Smith as in
yeah,
Smith.
I believe so.
Wow.
Which I think is a massive step up from, and I'm going to remind you of.
No, don't do it. Don't do it. Honestly, if I was in charge of the US anti-terror program, I'd be playing this to terrorists.
Oh, so this is Paloma Faith.
Yeah, the worst song on earth for any tournament of any sport.
That's one thing I'm not going to miss.
No, never.
ITV have learned their lesson by the
I'd
sound of
that
it.
On repeat in Guantanamo Bay until they talk.
I'm just watching the ITV.
It's cool, promo. Isn't it?
I like it.
Yeah. It's got like a...
There's a Street Fighter vibe.
Scottish to... and Italian packs in a Street Fighter fashion. There's Johnny May as a Transformer. There's a bit of anime and manga.
Cool.
I like it.
Sounds very cool.
Actually. It is
sounds
very cool.
A little bit cultural appropriation-y, but okay, I'll let it slide.
Oh, Owen Jones will be all over that.
All over it.
If someone isn't drop-kicking him in the back with military precision.
I shouldn't laugh.
I wasn't saying that because it's funny. It was just that's what he said happened to him. That's what happened to him.
Sorry.
Yeah, thank you.
There we go.
So, yes.
Ooh, racing.
Johnny May is a train.
Amazing. I like that.
That is cool. Johnny May is a Transformer train. This is cool. The PAX Street Fighter Scotland versus Samoa.
Yeah, it's good, isn't it?
Yeah, I love it. Absolutely love it. Okay, enough of that.
Yeah.
Right. World number one, Wales. Had their home streak come to an end against Ireland.
Yeah.
What do we take from this one?
Nothing really. Ireland a bit better, I guess.
So there's a few things you can take from it, and there's a lot you can't take from it. So you can't make any big statements about the trajectory of these teams, how this will impact on their tournament. You can say Ireland did use this for a few players to put their hands up.
Yep.
Kilcoyne, I thought, was brilliant. Jack Carty had a very good game and has definitely put his hand up for that number 3-10 shirt if they take 3-10s. I thought Addison was mixed but generally positive.
I thought he was brilliant.
Farrell was good. A couple of guys who got some form back. So Stockers took his two tries very well. And Rory Best, his 28-minute cameo, was very impressive. He made 12 tackles in 28 minutes and did very well at set pieces.
That's
as well.
Interesting, isn't it? I mean, I don't really know what to do with Rory Best now. I don't know. It almost feels like Ireland have set themselves off on a path and there's no way of coming back from it. And they're too hooking.
He is captain.
He is captain, yeah. And that's what I mean. Like, there's nothing they can really do about it at this point. But if you can come on for 20 minutes and make 16 tackles, that's a really good attribute to have. And, you know, I would say if they had a better starter, I'd have no problem with bringing him on to do that.
Scannell played well. And so it's interesting because they probably did flex an alternative captain arrangement with Peter Omani. Lions captain Peter Omani.
Yeah, undoubted leader.
Starting at 7 because they changed up their back row in order to get better line-out options.
Mm.
So they had James Ryan and my boy Hendo in the row, with then Ty Byrne at 6 and Peter Omani at 7, which is a bloody tall... Like, you've got 4 genuine line-out operators
and
there.
And ball carriers as well.
Yeah.
I mean, usually big ball carriers and line-out operators are not, you know, they're not dissimilar in this day and age with their height and their weight.
And Jack Conan at number 8 is not a small lad either.
So I think Jack Conan is actually ahead of CJ Stander at this point.
Well, so he had a relatively quiet game in this. He might be... Because of his form for Leinster rather than anything he's really done for Ireland. But, if we just take it back a second. So Ireland had some decent performances. They didn't play spectacularly well. I mean, they were 22-3 up after 60 minutes, and Wales made a spirited comeback to make it more even. But this was such a scrappy game. The first half in particular was just punctuated by knock-on, scrum, scrum, knock on, scrum, knock on, scrum. And both sides were...
Do you think Ireland just look like a side that they're just lacking confidence? They're lacking a bit of self-belief?
So, yes, to a degree. And that's why I think some of the performances I mentioned before, like Stockdale, for example, he needed those two tries. The first one was a great break by Conway. Kilcoyne, then Conway, and Stockers finished it off. The second one was just typical Stockdale. His pilfering. He was just in the right place at the right time and executed. It was an offload from Shingler that went to ground and he kicks it through. The ball bounces just right because Stockers knows where to be.
You can't. You can say Ireland lacking a bit of confidence. They will be the world's number one team going into the World Cup if they win next weekend.
Ooh.
So,
well, what do you do if you're Wales next weekend? Do you play? Who do you play? I just abandoned the game. I don't think I'd go. I mean, they know everything they need to know about all these players now. It was one warm-up game too many, but I guess they've got to fill some seats in Dublin though.
They do, yeah.
It's pay some wages.
I suspect we might see strong teams from both of them.
I hope not.
Because this was like a...
No, but hang on. There's no point in not putting in a strong team simply for the fact that you've cut most of your players now.
Yeah, yeah.
So you need to put out a team.
Yeah. Now, it might not be 100%. You might see a few combinations that you've maybe not seen as much of, but I think both teams will put out a pretty strong team.
Yeah.
There was a few guys for Ireland. You mentioned Conan. A few guys for Ireland that could have, with CJ Stander not playing particularly well recently, could have grabbed their chance and didn't really. Conan didn't really take his chance.
Yeah, he had a quiet game. And disappointingly quiet game.
Tadhg Byrne as well was a bit quiet.
So his line out was good. He was quiet. He was quiet in the loose. And I think it was an element of the game. But just because it was so stop-start, there was so many.
Byrne is a funny player, though. Like, I think he's, in the right situation, incredible. Like, for Scarlets, he was almost unplayable at times.
Yeah, yeah.
Imperious.
When you're playing that fast game.
But in the lineouts, he just makes the right decisions. Yeah. I don't even mean jumping. I mean, when he comes down to deck...
His jackling's immense.
Yeah, he's wading through malls. But he's not a particularly good physical specimen. He's not an internationally physical specimen, if that makes sense. So I think you've got to put him in situations where he can use that natural intelligence and, you know, the things that he does best. Because he's not going to go out and dominate Maru Itoje or out-wrestle bloody George Cruz.
No. Mm. But yeah, it was a total... The first half in particular was just stop-start. And Ireland, to a degree, were lucky with those tries because maybe the first one's a bit harsh to say lucky. The second one was lucky and... If it falls to anyone other than Stockers, that's not a try. But Stockers knows how to finish things like
well,
that.
Well, I think Addison would have scored it.
But it was much more imbalanced when Wales... it was much more imbalanced when Wales started ringing the changes. But one area we've got to talk about, which I don't think... I can't remember the last time I saw Wales owned at scrum time.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. And it was a weird one because the very first scrum in the game, Wales were on top, but didn't get a penalty. And then after that, it just all seemed to go Ireland's way. And particularly when Rob Evans came on.
Yeah.
And two guys, because we now know the Wales squad, two guys that have been dropped from the Wales squad were on. So it was Rob Evans and Samson Lee, both been dropped. And for Ireland, you had Jack Ryan, the prop.
Yep.
Munster prop. And you had Porter at Loosehead. Your boy Porter.
My boy Porter back at Loosehead.
Which is interesting because he can now play. Now, so they were totally dominant against that Wales team. They were having them all over to the point where they eventually won a penalty try.
We didn't mention Andrew Porter when we had a conversation a little while ago about how many props these days prop both sides.
Yeah.
Yes.
He does.
As does.
Like, legitimately does.
And he was totally dominant. So there was one scrum on Wales' line where Samson Lee tries to collapse it. Samson Lee goes to deck and Porter just keeps pushing him. Samson Lee is just like sliding. His arms are up in the air. His face is on the ground. He's just being pushed, slid backwards.
Right, there is an amazing period of scrummaging. It is New Zealand. No, it's not. It's Argentina against Australia. And you see the Australians trying to collapse this scrum and just being manhandled and hinged back up to vertical against their will and then
strength
driven
backwards. To do that. It was immense.
Oh, phenomenal.
I mean there's the videos of Andrew Porter doing weights at school are the stuff of myth and legend. He's an absolute freak.
He's quite feisty as well.
This was a good performance. And there was talking in comms on Saturday about Rob Evans has been struggling with a shoulder injury. It's question marks over whether he's 100% fit. Honestly, he didn't look it from that. He didn't look like he'd been training. Because I love Rob Evans. He's such a good...
He's a great character as well.
He's a great prop. He's a great character.
He's a leader in that squad.
Great around the park.
Yeah. Although, I'll never ever forget the the scrimmaging against France, where he volunteered France to have a substitute. Remember that?
Yeah, yeah. So you, in the 98th minute or whatever it was.
So France won a... No, no, it was over 100 minutes gone. So France are trying to do their old, you know, pretend head injury type thing. And Rob Evans goes, "Doesn't matter, sir. We'll scrimmage against anyone." And then gets battered.
Oh, well. No, not Slimani. Anyone, no, no, but, anyone but Slimani.
But yeah, it's a real shame not seeing him. He's one of those characters in the game that everyone seems to like. But Warren Gatland knows things, remember?
Yeah,
that?
And Carr could be a proper World Cup bolter. Although you look at the...
Would you say he might be the Milner Scudder?
He might be the Milner Scudder. But I mean, when you look at the Wales front five, it's precarious given an injury or two.
Well, is it? Look, Alan Willing-Jones is a disaster. Everyone else is replaceable, really, I think.
I mean, their props, it's interesting because there's not a huge amount of experience in those five.
I just think there's enough. I mean, I don't think that Warren Gatland picks people who can't do what he wants.
No, it's true.
Thomas Francis is the example. How did he know about Thomas Francis? No one else knew. And for a year, he was the only man on earth that thought Tommy Francis could play international.
For probably a couple of years.
Yeah, and lo and behold, he's absolutely right. Even now I look at Thomas Francis on the team and I go, nah, that's not going to work. Yet it does. So I have no problem with anyone that he's picked.
More than that, I look at that squad and go, "Gore, I never thought I would be saying, God, you know what, Alan Wynne-Jones, obviously they don't want anything to happen to him. They can't afford bigger, and Thomas Francis, he's so important in that squad.
Yeah.
They can't afford to lose him.
Point, right?
But it's true.
So if I said to you, using Cocker's Law, okay, who would you drop from the England team, but to replace them with someone from the Welsh team, I think you might get Alan Wynne-Jones in there as maybe not a starter, but a squad guy. Who else?
No, you get Alan Wynne-Jones as a starter. With prize-winning Marrow.
Okay, fine. Yeah. But then who else?
That's a good question.
I'm not sure.
Liam Williams, 100%.
No, yeah. Pack. Sorry, Pack. Oh, only.
Pack only.
Oh, that's tough. That.
So Ken Owens would be in as your
second, just like he was in the Lions.
Yeah,
behind Jamie George. Yeah,
I mean it's night and day. The talent that England have compared to what Wales have, I think.
If he was fit, obviously Talupe Faletau would be Billy's backup.
Yeah. Well, or six. I mean, he might get in six. It depends.
Faletau would definitely be in.
But my point is,
I think someone like Navidi. I think Navidi.
Instead of Mark Wilson.
Yeah, Navidi is so similar to Mark Wilson in that he can do 6, 7, and 8 so well.
Late developer,
such a good engine.
Yeah. The story's the same, aren't they? Late developer, given a chance, didn't let that chance go.
Mm. Yeah, yeah. But you're right, in the pack, there's not many.
No. And it just shows that Gatland is a genius. He'll really mould this team to do whatever he thinks is best. And that might be enough, it might not. I mean, it's a precarious group, don't forget that. But they're all fairly precarious groups, I guess.
Well, the South African-New Zealand one is not.
Yeah, that's the only one where those two are definitely going through.
I mean, they have got one tough game. It's their first game. They've got three more warm-up games. The Wales' group, Wales will get out of the group. Fiji are a decent team.
Yeah, but Fiji at the end of the group stage is a different proposition to Fiji at the start of the group stage.
Yeah, true.
Just watch out for those boys.
I'm not worried about Wales and Fiji. Actually, the team that I'd be most worried about, obviously there's the Argentina-France-England group, but then there's the Scotland-Ireland-Japan group. And Japan comfortably beat Fiji.
Mm.
Japan are
so they are going to open up with the mother of all wins against not Spain.
Yeah.
And then they are going to be...
Did not Spain get absolutely pumped again?
Yeah, by?
Jersey Reds. Not Spain lost to Jersey Reds. I think it was quite a second team from not Spain, but...
Oh, not from Jersey Reds, because that would be bad. We didn't quite send our first team
but
to play
it
Russia.
But it was at home.
Oh, not Spain.
It was at home for not Spain.
Yeah,
capital of not Madrid.
Also capital of not Spain. Did anyone see the other international game which was on?
I've only seen highlights of the other two games.
I watched it and it was marvellous, actually.
What game is this?
So France-Italy.
So I watched the whole thing. And
I was looking dicey for a little while, wasn't it? A couple of yellow cards and down a
few
points.
Yes, well, kind of that is...
Very French.
That's exactly what the French needed, because two yellow cards down and the most French of Frenchmen Johan Uge.
Uge.
Lighted up. I mean, he was brilliant at times. He basically runs 90 metres and then draws a yellow card by cheating. I thought that is so wonderful.
I did see that.
He barely gets...
Like, there's barely even any contact when he gets pulled back and he throws...
And the commentators... Hey, let me talk about the commentators. My word. Now, did any of you actually watch this or listen to any of the commentary?
No. So I've only... I watched... There was like a six-minute highlight reel that...
Wow.
That the FFR put out. And there's no commentary on it.
So, back in the Graham Henry days of Wales...
So the early 2000s.
Yeah. There's a Rugby World, or whatever the magazine was at the time. There's an interview with Graham Henry, or the fitness coach. And it went along the lines of, Wales have got two options. We either do things completely differently to everyone else and hope we get an advantage, or we do things slightly worse than the best team in the world. You either copy them, or you rip it up and do something completely different.
Yeah.
Now, if you're going to copy the best commentators in the world, you're probably copying Nick Mullins.
Yeah.
But you're not Nick Mullins, so don't bother. And I think that's exactly what the Premier Sports duo wanted to do. And
got
to
be your best self. You've got to be the best you you can be.
So initially, I found this rather offensive, but now I look back at this this game. Maybe the commentary was a highlight. So let me just give you some of their highlights. It's a warm night. Well, it's not a warm night. then when Italy claps a scrum, they said, oh, well, Val Mahina does that all the time, but Val Mahina's not playing tonight. A box kick went up. It goes, that's a great kick. Well, maybe it's not. It depends. And I guess you're right. It does depend.
It does depend.
It does depend.
It does.
It does depend. A kick's only as good as the chase.
Yeah, and these two.
Or it depends. Did he catch it or not?
Yeah.
Do you know, I was so amazed by the commentary. I was too busy writing down their bits and pieces. I kind of think, yeah, go for it. It was a mixture between just two people watching the game and a little bit of cricket commentary as well, like lots of little bits in between, little stories.
To be fair, if anybody just wrote down some of the things we say on this and then read them in a deadpan voice with no context.
Yeah.
It would sound ridiculous.
I wish I had the context.
The ramblings of a madman. Oh no, it is just JB.
Yeah, you can't score any points without the ball. I mean, that is true. That is undeniably
true. It's 100% factually correct.
Yeah. So I actually think
can you? Is there any way which you can? No.
Penalty try.
What, sort of. Oh, yeah, penalty try, you're right.
Yeah.
Oh, but then you'd have to...
Sorry, I've got my hand up for the listeners because I want to talk.
Well, Uge's was a penalty try when he didn't have the ball, when he got pulled back.
And if someone's running through...
Who thinks Emil Entermak is a good player back in the day? Not his son, Emil.
He was decent. Got to a World Cup final.
Kind of before my time, really. Was he in the 99 team that got to the World Cup final?
Yeah, well, he was decent.
Well, apparently he played in the 95 final, according to the...
95 final?
According to the commentators.
South Africa versus New Zealand.
Yeah, I don't know how he managed that, but he did. He did, because the comments said it, right? Now, how would you describe Emil Entermak, the 12 for France?
Emil or his dad? His dad was fullback.
No. You're thinking of Romain.
Oh, sorry.
Emil, 12. 12/15. How would you describe him?
Silky runner.
Would you ever describe him as the Lomu of the 80s? Just asking for a friend.
He wasn't that big.
Or played in the 80s much.
Yes, true.
Double whammy, you might say.
Yeah.
So I think actually, far from being a disaster, Premier Sports should double down on this. I've actually quite enjoyed it. Now, the game itself, that's more interesting.
It was on Premier Sports. I'd love to know what they're... Are they still going then? They're still,
are you
going to
do the Jonathan Davis?
No. They're still going, as in this season. They're
still,
I assume they're going to have the Pro 14 this season.
I don't know. I assume.
Good for them.
The price is going up, apparently, which has caused all sorts of consternation down in South Wales.
Good for them.
So here's the takeaway from France. France are looking really, really good. I think player for player, they've got as talented squad as anyone, and they look like they're starting to pull it together. I'd be very worried if I was England going to France, because I hands down think that things go France's way, England could be in for a very, very rude awakening.
I'm genuinely terrified of France, and I'm only ever terrified or supremely confident playing against France, and nothing in between.
It's going to go 50 points one way or another.
Yeah,
and I don't know which way.
I can't see France beating England by 50 points.
No,
but I can see France beating England, but I think France. So unquestionably, you are right. They have got the talent. They've got the talent right across. They can pick a 31-man squad. I don't believe they've selected their squad yet, but they can pick a 31-man squad that is oozing with talent in every
DuPont
single,
is so
every single position.
So good.
Yeah, they've got at least two players in every position.
Well, there's a bunch of Frenchmen that would make the England squad. Well, particularly in the backs, but that same is true for Wales there.
I tell you the one to watch out for, Arthur Iratira. And because I know he plays a lot of second row. He's a big boy, but I like him in the back row. I think he does everything. He tackles hard, offloads, he's pretty quick, great in the line out. I mean, they've just got so many options.
So Iturria was an interesting one, actually, because he's played mostly at blindside flanker for Clermont and for France.
Yeah.
He's a tall, rangy boy. He's got superb handling skills.
And he gets low in the tackle, tackle.
He is a good
doesn't
player.
Doesn't get knocked out as well. Watch his game tape.
JB, you need to practice his tackle technique.
I certainly
watch
do.
Watch him and Courtney Law's tackling for next time you try and smash a 10.
No.
And end up getting knocked they out could and be, injuring your knee.
I thought that could be a genuine matchup at six in the World Cup match.
I'll give you a Rolls Royce of a player who I've always rated, but I just thought he was brilliant. Yakubu Kamara. Like, that boy does it all. Like, again, tall, line up. He's so, so strong. And he seems to be involved in absolutely everything. And that's basically the story of this game. France dominated Italy for large parts. They went down to 13 men, and actually they just played better. So I would be very, very wary.
But this is a game against Italy.
It's Italy.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, you know, Italy are a tier one nation, right? We've been told they're a tier one nation.
Yeah, Jay, we arrived late for a game in Rome, and you wanted to leave after 20 minutes because it was so one-sided.
They were doing the Mexican wave. As soon as the Mexican wave started, just after 20 minutes.
Should we go get some beers, boys?
Yeah, let's get some beers.
Let's get some beers.
Some sparkling wine as well.
A true professional. Bromstein had some nice moments.
Pelledri's try.
Oh, yeah.
Ridiculous try.
Hang on.
Have you seen Pelledri's
try? No,
I haven't seen
it. That's Bromstein.
Is it Bromstein?
The chip and chase.
Was it?
Yeah.
Was that Bromstein?
Yeah, I think a penalty advantage, like, on the 5-metre line. Chips and catches and somehow muscles over. It was nice.
It was an unusual try.
Yeah, they're going to... Well, who's in Italy's group? Do we know?
They'll be in the other group. I'm just trying to think. Oh, they're not in the South Africa, New Zealand
South Africa,
group.
New Zealand pool.
They are the third team in the South Africa, New
Zealand. Yeah, they're not getting out of any groups.
No, of course
for
not.
Sure. So
pool, by the way, it's like you say, pool. Law, not rule.
Oh, is it? Is it pool?
Pool, not group. Yeah. Groups for.
Yeah, I am very excited about France now. So I'm going to be packing my French tops for my trip to Japan.
Italy will get a couple of wins against Namibia and Canada.
Namibia, by the way, Botha has retired today.
Who has?
Ronaldo Botha.
Bothma. The Quins.
Yeah, which is weird when you're about to go into a World Cup.
Yeah. I wonder if he's had one of those French deals where there's two deals on the table. One if you retire from international rugby and one if you keep playing international rugby.
I hope not. I don't think that's a very Quins way of doing business. But you don't know, do you?
No.
You don't know how these premiership clubs sometimes work.
Did you see where the Quins boys were this week?
No, but no sailor in Spain.
Last year they went to Bermuda at one point, didn't they?
Yes.
Well, this week, I don't know if it was just some of them or all of them as like a specific training week or just some of them went. They're all partying it up in Ibiza.
Of course they are.
Ocean Beach Club and
very Quinsy.
On a yacht.
So Quinsy.
In any Quinn's kit in sight, or was this a downtime holiday week?
Well, they're all in just budgie smugglers from what I saw.
Obviously
so
they are.
God, you would if you were a professional
athlete.
If
you're in that shape, why wouldn't you? I think
they went for Ocean Beach Club as well because there's specific Maserati park in there.
Oh, is there?
Yeah,
well, that's
of
useful.
Course.
That is useful. Sailor off to Spain for the week.
Very nice.
Don't know where they're going, but I know they are.
Are you not going?
As a team member? I wasn't invited, actually. But if I was invited, I definitely would have gone.
Yeah, you were invited beforehand, and then...
Yeah, and then
you upset John O'Ross and he withdrew the offer. There's a picture that JB sent us of.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Him interviewing John O'Ross on Sales Sharks TV, and John O'Ross, I mean, he's a serious,
he's
focused
very
man.
I mean,
that's
actually quite a loving stare for John O'Ross. You know, that's what he normally looks like. But yeah, he's a very serious, very good defensive flanker. And that stare.
Being in the media room at Sale post match when Sale have lost, and him and Diamond are like snarling behind the.
That was weird, that one, because Sale, no one does media except for Dimes. He's really good at it, very entertaining. And for whatever reason it was, he decided to bring John O'Ross in, who actually could be
because Sale had got hammered, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah.
He wanted to deflect the results by announcing his next season's captain.
Yeah, by bringing his biggest, hardest guy in to think, Jono's captain for next year, talk to Jono. Don't ask any questions. Righto.
Did anyone see the other game? Or anything of the other game?
No.
So, again...
Other game?
I've just watched the highlights of Georgia-Scotland.
No, because I couldn't get Premier Bloody Sport Player working.
Of course. Couple of nice tries from Rory Hutchinson. Mm-hmm. He is a Rolls-Royce of a
runner. Classy
He is
player.
A real
Oh, God,
runner.
The Northampton boy.
Yeah.
Amazing stuff.
Yeah. He did. Took his two tries very, very well. Scotland's scrum seemed to hold up well. Couple of nice touches from Finn Russell. Fairly routine. The Georgia try looked a bit dodgy, but give him a try at home.
Yeah, Finn Russell might be the difference between them going very far and them not going anywhere. But he's so good.
But it's almost too perfect that he's playing in France because he's so French. I mean, he blows hot and cold.
I don't think he does anymore.
The best French. He does. He tries stuff. He really does.
I think in the same game he can make some horrors, but in fact, I think he might even be on the Danny Cipriani level of talent, maybe beyond him now. I mean, that is a big, big statement, but he can unlock defences on his own.
Oh, he can. You know, he absolutely can.
Some of
unlock.
The best moments in the last 10 years of Six Nations have come out of Finn Russell's hands.
Finn Russell is phenomenally talented. Yeah. He's brilliant. He can unlock defences. His passing, his running, his decision making. He also does have some horrors, in my opinion.
And you've also got to back him to the hilt. He is. That's the other thing you'd say about him and Danny Cipriani is you have to back him to the hilt and make everything about them.
They're your number one, or they're not playing at all.
Yeah, they're not playing 12 anytime soon, or 15. Just slotting in at 15.
One of the reasons I love Finn Russell is he. He has a good time on the pitch and he's a good time off the pitch.
Absolutely.
He's actually a bit of an old school rugby player. I love it.
He's an artist. First is the artistry, then is the gym work.
Yeah.
So, a slight tangent change then.
Yes, please.
Well, firstly, Christian Wade's been cut by the Buffalo Bills.
Has he?
Yes, I know. I just thought it might be worth, because you know a bit about NFL. I know a little bit about NFL. A lot of people will just see the headline and think, oh, well, that's over then.
Yeah. Bye, Christian. No, it's not. Same with the other two English boys, Alex Gray. Someone say Alex Gray?
Alex Gray.
Yeah, Alex Gray. Christian Scotland-Williamson. So, say the English boys. There are other English boys playing out there, but English rugby boys is what I meant. As I understand it, and maybe I'll be proved horribly wrong, they will all those three will get re-signed. But they have to be cut to be put back on the practice squad. When they go back on the practice squad, I think they get their international designation. So it doesn't cost them a spot on the practice squad either.
Yeah, it just gives other NFL teams, 31 other franchises, the option. If someone wanted to pick Christian Wade up and put them on the active roster, they have that option. Otherwise, Buffalo Bills, which he won't.
But yeah, it Buffalo does seem Bills. Unlikely that anyone else would pick him up.
No.
So he would go to the practice
squad. LeSean McCoy got dropped.
I know, from Buffalo Bills as well.
It's just so it shows how savage that sport is.
Oh, potentially, but it also, that is actually a... When I looked at that and I saw LeSean McCoy dropped as a running back for the Buffalo Bills, I actually looked at that and thought, that's probably a... That might have been partly because they think they could have a potential little project to work on with Christian Wade as well, because he's going to be one further up the pecking order than he would have been before.
When I saw that, I thought, I wonder if New England will sign LeSean McCoy. Because that's a very... I've been so out of touch with NFL for so long, I don't know. But yeah, that's a good theory though, Tim, that... Maybe that's what Christian Wade does.
They trust him a little bit more than they did, so they can have him one higher up the depth chart.
I'm looking at the list of players. So there's about 30, maybe just over 30, 31 released from the Bills. Mm-hmm. Some of the names are genius. Boys. Lafayette Pitts is great. Demetrius Rani. Eric Magnusson. Sounds like a strong man.
It does, doesn't it?
My favourite in this, LeSean McCoy is a good name.
It is.
Tyree Jackson, but the best has to be, what's WR, what position is WR?
Wide receiver,
Ray McLeod III.
That's amazing. So what's he like, minor Austrian royalty?
What was the one that I love? It just has a first name, it's incredible, De Brickashaw.
What was
his surname?
Ferguson,
that's it.
It was Brickashaw Ferguson. Like, the next hurricane should be named Hurricane Le Brickashaw.
There was someone
De Brickashaw.
There you go, De Coldest Crawford.
Amazing.
His first name is De Coldest. De Coldest Crawford. What a boy. Unbelievable news.
There was a running back called...
Fair play, lads.
...called No'Shawn Monroe.
Yes.
Yeah. No'Shawn Monroe played for the Denver Broncos. Oh, must be best part of 7 years ago now. Might have been their first-round draft pick. And he's called No'Shawn because his mother is Shauna, and the No is for knowledge. So knowledge Shauna Monroe, otherwise known as No'Shawn Monroe.
Wow.
Boom. Nailing that everywhere.
Amazing. Fair play.
Love it. Anyway, watch this space. There might be more to come in the Christian Wade NFL saga.
Do you have anything you urgently want to talk about, Tim? Because I'd like to talk about something. Unless you've got something.
Go on.
Well, I was scrolling through YouTube, well, Twitter first, which ended up on YouTube, and I have noticed that there is a brand new video from our old friend, Brian Mugiarty.
Oh, yeah. The Life of Brian.
Now, have you seen it?
I've not watched it. It's popped up on my YouTube.
Has he got his drone out again?
It's amazing. Like, you finish it, you think, it's hard to say what I actually think about it, because I don't want to sound particularly patronising or anything, but you think, like, God, that! How can I help Brian Mugiarty? He's in high spirits throughout the whole thing, but his journey from finishing the Ospreys. Do you know where he finished?
He's injured, wasn't he?
But he doesn't know how he's injured. So he was saying on the video, and watch the video because he'll do a far better job of explaining it than I will. That he just lost all his strength. He couldn't bench press 60 kilograms.
Ooh,
yeah, well. Exactly. So he's had everything. He's had everything
so like
tested.
A nerve issue, presumably.
Couldn't find any. They can't find. You know, apparently, he's even been tested for HIV because that was what they thought was up with him. He's not had his insurance payout, and he goes through that. So it's 6 months to get it paid out. 12 months later, they've still not paid him out. Ooh. He said the RPA have not really helped him. Now, he sort of caveats that, but you'd have to watch it to get a bit more context. Yeah. He was going to start a beer company, and he sort of dabbled with that, then he went delivering parcels for a bit.
Yeah, his old videos used to be him, loads of them, him doing his home
brewing and barbecuing.
He, that was his love for God knows how long. Now he's saying, well, you know, I was going to open a beer shop, but before I opened the beer shop, then I found that, you know, all the beers I want to sell are now on supermarket shelves because it's trendy, so, you know, all the margins were cut, and then he had a small tax issue which he had to pay a lot of tax back, and then his wife got ill. So, like, all of these things, and it's just really interesting. It gives you an idea, I think, of what players go through from when they get, well, when they come to the end of their playing days.
Yeah.
You know, the things that can happen to them. I mean, it does sound in Brian, like in Brian's case, everything happened in 12 months. Yeah. But, you know, even if one of those things happened, it's quite, it potentially is quite a life-altering thing.
Worth
watching.
A lot of players' contracts, I don't know if this is the case at the top level. I doubt it will be with top players, but in fact, it won't be with top players. But your average squad player in the Premiership, Championship and whatever, if you have an injury and you are out of action for 6 months, clubs can just terminate
that's
your contract.
That's exactly what happened to Brian Majority.
Is that right?
He says day after 6 months, gone. So nice little contract. He can't prove his fitness. And, you know, he makes a good point that the Ospreys have got to spend the money on someone who can help them. He's on a lot of money, and that's the job, sadly. And I think that'll be the same across... I mean, I think the difference being, what you're alluding to, Tim, is a lot of clubs will keep that player because if it's 7 or 8 months or 12 months, you don't want a Vunipola going to
Wasps. Vunipola does his ACL, he's not getting cut.
But if you're easily replaceable, you're going to get cut because it's a business decision.
Yeah.
Simple as that. And that's what happened to Majority. But go and watch The Life of Brian. It's bloody brilliant.
It does sound a bit like the Rupeni Thauthau documentary that Dan Leo did.
I've not watched that yet.
It's just showing how kind of fragile, like rugby players, certainly the top rugby players, get paid what is good money. But it's a very short and very fragile career. Like, you're not doing that when you're 40.
Yeah,
you're not doing that when you're 60.
Well, Majority, after he finished, he's like, I'm going to sell second-hand cars, and now I'm going to be a delivery driver. Imagine Brian Majority showing up with your Amazon box. you know, he's done all this stuff. Watch it. That's what I'm telling you to do.
Yeah.
Watch
it. And more's the case, it's a reminder that, you know, exactly. You're not playing when you're 40, that there's kids and grand. You know, there'll be a lot of ex-rugby players who've got kids that they can't pick up because they're,
yeah,
my shoulders so
shoulders
mangled.
Gone, ankles gone, knees gone. Like you, JB. You
need my to sort out
your
back.
You need to sort out your tackling technique.
Yes, I need to go high again.
This is not product placement. I've just noticed. Have you got yourself a Garmin recently?
I've had a Garmin for ages. Yeah,
I'll have you. I just got one.
It's very much like it. That's how I afford to buy all my Starbucks through my well-known insurance provider.
Yes, I have a well-known insurance provider that I
and we'll mention them one day if they sponsor us.
I make use of the cinema as well as the coffee.
Oh, do you?
Quite regularly. Well, that's just my working hours. You know what I mean? I'm only part time, aren't I?
Exactly right.
Speaking of fragile careers,
where we're going now.
There was another prop, high level tight head prop, who has been unceremoniously cut from a test squad.
Because we're not talking about Rob Evans or Samson Lee. We're talking about Owen Franks.
Owen Franks.
Tell you what.
Oh, I did not see that coming.
Well,
that is a true shock.
I assumed it wasn't going to happen, but I know nothing about New Zealand rugby, so I don't know. Is that a shock?
Massive shock to me. So Owen Franks has been...
Well, so him, Kieran Reid, and Ben Smith are the double World Cup winners in that squad.
Sonny Bill. No, Ben Smith isn't.
Ben Smith didn't make it to 2011. Yeah, you're right. So Sonny Bill, Kieran Reid, and it would have been Owen Franks.
Yeah, there's probably someone.
There must be
another one. Whitelock.
Oh,
Sam
yes.
Sam Whitelock.
Yes, you're right.
Is the other one. What I can tell you for the last couple of years about Owen Franks is he's pretty much always been the starting tight head.
Yep.
He's been the starting tight head for the last 10 years.
Yep.
He's got 108 caps.
Yep.
In the last 3 years, he's been the starting tight head for the Crusaders, who've won back-to-back-to-back trophies. In this year's Rugby Championship, all the Crusaders boys, apart from Sevu Reese, were dropped or rested for the first game because they played the final 2 weeks before. He then came in and started both the second and the third game in the Rugby Championship. So everything pointed to him just continuing to be absolutely nailed on as one of the best tighteners in the world and the first choice for Crusaders and All Blacks. This is a real, real shock. There was no suggestion of injury, and it's a form and capability decision, which... Hansen, the statement was they wanted a big mobile tight head.
Okay. Is he? He's quite big.
He's certainly big enough to have 100.
He's quite mobile
for the All Blacks. He's not as old as I thought he was. He's 31.
Bloody hell, that's nothing.
So he's not for tight head. Yeah, for tight head, he's not. He's
that's
certainly
like prime tight head.
He's certainly not over the. I mean, there are a lot of miles on the clock, but he's certainly not over the hill.
31-year-old tight head with 108 caps.
Yeah.
Bloody hell.
Steve Hansen was very warm and a lot of praise for him, but also said, effectively, and I'm paraphrasing here, but he basically said, no one owes anybody anything.
Yep.
He's right, though.
I like some of the things Steve Hansen is saying, I've got to say, lately.
I do like Hansen. He has got the easiest job in rugby.
Yeah. I mean, I would like to think if I had his job, I'd at least made two finals. Minimum.
It would have been harder for them not to get to the final in 2015,
yeah,
given that everyone else was as bad as everyone else was.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
conversation to have. I know he says no one knows anything to anyone. But it's still a difficult conversation, I'd imagine. Because he's got 108 caps. He's been, by all accounts, he's been a fairly good team member. You know, you'd have to have 100 and something caps.
108 caps. He's been like pretty much the best tight end in the world for the vast majority of the last decade.
Yeah, we're going a different way.
He's still prime time. Now, the only other factor in this is he does leave for Northampton Saints after the World Cup.
Yes.
But that's still, in my mind, I don't think that will have affected Hansen's decision because you've got to win a World Cup now.
Yep.
Not next year. Not in March, not any time. You go win a World Cup now, you've got to select your best team now. And I firmly believe that that's what Hansen believes he has done.
Crikey. Are there any other examples of big, big players not getting into World Cup squads just before? I mean, Adam Jones, but that wasn't this close to the World Cup. That was maybe 6 months before that Adam Jones was removed from the Welsh team. There was Martin Corey, Simon Shaw toss-up that they had? Simon Shaw lost out for the World Cup.
2007. Was it?
Was it not for the World Cup?
I don't think you describe either World of those Cup. Cases but as big, big.
No,
players.
No, nothing even close, really. Trying to think. I mean,
there was some pretty big calls in the 2003 World Cup.
Was it? There was a big scrum half missed out.
Austin Healy, for example.
Austin Healy, yeah,
didn't travel.
But in terms of the world,
yeah,
game,
Austin Healy.
Oh, he was a lion, and he was versatile, could play in a number of positions.
Yeah, which normally helps in World Cups because you've got a small squad.
Good for the bants.
So yeah. Austin Healy's in a very peculiar position because everyone assumes he has won a World Cup.
Yeah.
In the same way that everyone assumes that I've got a degree and I don't. You know. So like, even though he doesn't have a World Cup medal, he talks like he has. So makes no difference.
So that is shocking. The other ones, Squire and
Lamapi.
Well, Lamapi, Squire and Vea Fafita.
Oh yeah.
And Frizzell. I was sure one of those three would make it as the six. Lamapi as well as the centre. I mean,
that's how good their centres are.
Yeah, but Ryan Crotty is such a nice man though.
Ryan Crotty is absolute class all round.
Isn't he just?
I'd love to have a few more beers with Ryan Crotty.
A few more beers.
Yeah.
In Monaco.
In Monaco.
With Ryan Crotty.
That was
love to have added the beers you had with Ryan Crotty just with another couple of nightcaps.
Just another couple. Just telling him how much I love him.
Yeah.
someone who's not going to be at the World Cup. And John? Who knows whether there'll be a rugby player.
Ooh.
Deanty.
Oh,
yeah. Pee Wee Deanty, who we had the absolute pleasure of interviewing.
Lovely man, lovely man.
Yeah, I tweeted about this. In terms of young players, I mean, I can't think of anything more I'd expect from a young player than this guy. I mean, he was a delight to be around.
So polite.
Humble.
Well-humble.
I don't normally like saying the word humble, but he was just such a nice guy.
Yeah, not in a sweep in the dressing room with your missus taking a photo. So you can put it on Instagram.
He left our interview station. I think we were all pretty much blown away by him because he was brilliant. And it's just a shame, really. That's my biggest takeaway. It's a shame. Ross Tucker explained on Twitter, you know, some of the processes involved and, you know, what an athlete has to do to ensure that they are taking the right things.
You don't need to go to him. I could have just said they get asked to and then they piss in a test tube. There you go.
Oh, no.
Done.
In terms of supplements. So I think, and you might have to double check this, someone dug up one of his supplement sponsors is not a registered supplement supplier for South African.
Yeah, so it could be, I mean, it's the same.
It's his responsibility.
Nice,
regardless of how nice he is.
Choices and consequences.
So if he has done it deliberately, then he deserves as long as banners they throw at him. If it's accidental, then the problem with the system is the onus is on him. The system is right in my mind, but the problem that he's got is the onus is on him to check and double check everything that he puts in his body so that he can then link it back to a specific batch, and then that batch can be tested to see if that batch.
Surely he's not doing this himself, though. This is what I don't understand. No,
there's a lot of these guys have a lot of support. So
South Africa Rugby Union will have
all of this support. So if he's put something in his body, it's outside of and what they are giving him.
Right. You even got to record your batch numbers. Because a lot of the
labs, you've got to write. You've got to have all the batch numbers.
A lot of the labs that will supply supplements will also be dealing with steroids. So cross-contamination is not unheard of. So you'll have a batch number, and then if you're taking something, record that batch number, and say if it's in the SRU approved list, and I'm not sure what system that they use, but hypothetically, that would probably mean that you'd get off okay, I would imagine, because you've just followed protocol. You know, the SRU have said, that's okay. SRU, is that Scotland?
It is, yes.
Doesn't matter.
Scottish right. Rugby Union.
South African Rugby Union. I've taken that. You said I could take it. Here's a batch number. Go and test it. You know, he'd probably get off that. But it sounds like he's actually taking something from a sponsor. And again, check this because I don't know. I'm just reading stuff off Twitter. He's taking something from his sponsor, who is a supplement sponsor, and they don't seem to be registered.
We've said before about some pre-workout stuff. If he's going and taking Hemo Rage,
good stuff that.
Double arm pump. It's a shame.
See how that one pans out.
It's a shame. There is a small chance that he will be able to track it down and prove his innocence. It does feel unlikely. It feels very unlikely.
3-year ban, though, right?
Is that standard?
It's like a 1-week ban in American sport.
Yeah,
for human growth hormone and anabolic steroid.
Riddle me this, and this is unpopular things that I'm occasionally say, but I'm pretty sure in some special forces, particularly maybe in the American special forces, they are encouraged to have supplements which might make them not eligible for the Olympics. That's what I'm saying, right? Mm-hmm. I don't know what it is, but it makes sense because you've got guys who put their body through unbelievable stress and they need to repair.
Well, there was. Have you seen the Ken Burns documentary on Netflix about Vietnam?
Yes, I have.
Brilliant.
It is amazing.
I don't know whether I'm pretty sure one of the American soldiers said, and again, I may well be remembering this wrong or getting this from somewhere else and cross, so don't take my word for it, but watch the documentary. It's brilliant. It's on Netflix. But he talks about they were being given amphetamine day after day.
Yes. Yeah, that's quite. Well, not quite common, but that was common historically. And pilots too.
So
I kind of like the American combat approach to contact sport, which is don't take it, but if you do take it, we'll probably turn a blind eye because it's so grueling. It is so grueling. And think about the season that athletes have, particularly the rugby season. It's so long. I'm a little bit more forgiving, should I say, of these sorts of things because you do need to repair your body.
Yeah, but I think you would call for something quite different, which is now it is totally banned. You would have a more open system, wouldn't you?
Much more open system.
But so
I wouldn't align.
I can understand the argument for the more open system, but where you've got a ban, you have to enforce that ban.
Yeah,
so I guess you can't have this kind of halfway house because.
Oh, completely agree. Completely agree. He's got to be banned. If he's guilty, he's got to be banned. Not asking for any leniency for him.
Yeah,
but what I'm saying in a more general point of view. Why should rugby follow the WADA code or the Olympic code? I just don't see why they should do it. It's a unique sport, and maybe we should have unique rules.
Or Putin rules.
Well, makes a good sport.
That's a good documentary to watch on Netflix.
What's it called?
Icarus.
Icarus, yeah.
That is good. About the...
The gymnast, is it?
No. A cyclist, so an amateur cyclist who... enlisted a Russian scientist, one of the head guys on the Russian doping program, to help him to try and get him to basically win an amateur cycling race by.
I did not know this is what it was about.
He did it one. It's worth watching. He did it 1 year naturally. He did it the second year enhanced.
No difference.
Well, actually, he got worse over that time.
No,
but that didn't become the story because the guy was. Basically, this was when everything was breaking in the, I think it was the Sochi Olympics. And this guy became like public enemy number one and effectively defected to and released all the information of how Russia was doing it as part. So that became the documentary, not this, not the the cyclist success, because that that was like totally, well, it didn't happen, but it was totally secondary. It was the release of the Russian doping scandal.
And they just happened to be doing a documentary with him at the time?
Correct.
Oh, time and place.
It's really worth watching that. If you've got any interest in sport or any interest in this kind of stuff, which if you're listening to this podcast, you might do.
There is an amazing podcast, the Joe Rogan one with the guy who basically doped...
Victor Conte.
Victor Conte. I love that podcast.
That's years old, but that was good.
And I'll recommend a book called Positive by Werner Rieterer. Werner Rieterer, something like that. And he's an Australian discus thrower. What was originally from the Balkan area, I can't remember. Anyway, he was an Australian, and going up to the Sydney, going towards the Sydney Olympics, and all through age grade and stuff, he was the best in the world. And then people started getting better than him with much worse technique as he was a senior. And basically, he used to get tested all the time because they knew he was clean. That's what his what he says. And then he says, so I'm not wanting to, what's the word, when you, don't get guilty of defamation. He says in this book that he was told by the, he was told by the Australian Olympic Committee, yeah, we'll sort you out and you won't get tested.
Christ, if I was in charge of a, of an Olympic Committee, there'd be all sorts going on. There'd be all sorts going on.
He says, well,
he said he walked 2020
manifesto point two. He said he walked into a hotel room in the in an athlete's village and just he said he regularly saw big names just juicing.
So let me guess right. We've recommended a podcast, a documentary, and a book, and yet none of us are doping. We're missing a trick here, boys. We've got some good knowledge.
Well, I mean, there are guys that go to the gym as well who just think that just. I remember when creatine was just a fashion.
Yeah,
but people used to sort of take creatine, then just sit and look at their phone in the gym for 20 minutes.
Yep,
that's all you need to do.
All been there. Yeah, that's all it. Been there.
Taking selfies on the squat rack.
Yeah. Bath's kit's beautiful.
Oh yes,
reminds me of year 1999. Blackthorn was emblazoned across the chest,
and it was that they had a yellow change kit.
Yep.
Adidas did that kit.
Yes.
Canterbury have done this one. This is beautiful.
I can't... Right, so... In 1999, yeah, there was internet, but not really internet. I mean, you could order things, but it's not like it was now. And I was in Bath because I was viewing University West of England in Bristol. So we stayed in Bath with my parents. And the excitement of the Bath shop, I can't tell you.
Pulteney Bridge.
Yeah, I was not leaving Bath without that top. So I got that top for my 18th birthday.
That so they've announced two kits. Their yellow, which is their away kit. And
was the yellow not their home kit for a while?
No.
I seem to remember them wearing it an awful lot.
So I love this kit so much. I love the three stripes, the blue, white and black on the arms. I love the blue, the royal blue.
Let's see the blue
of
one.
This is the yellow one with the blue shorts, which I just think looks awesome. And then they've announced their European kit, which I think also looks awesome, which is just black, very, very simple black. Again,
yep,
blue, white,
nice.
And black on the arms. Oh, it's just a really, really classy pair of kits, that.
Remember when they used to play in blue camouflage, blue and pink camouflage?
What?
Bath used to have a blue and pink
camouflage. I've blocked that out of my memory. No.
I think it's the European kit. I remember Duncan Bell wearing it. Maybe it's Flats, Bell. I'm not sure. Did Bell play loose or tight?
And Mears, probably.
Mears definitely was in... was
Flats
in
was
kit.
Loosehead.
Yeah, Flats was loosehead, but was Bell a
Duncan
tight?
Duncan Bell was tighter.
Tighter, yeah.
Yep, that would have been the front row. And they looked resplendent. Yes, so well done, Canterbury. Well done, Bath.
Yeah, that is a great kit. What was the other kit I mentioned? Oh, Saracens announced their kit this week as well.
Who pointed out... Should I? Yeah, I'll go for it. Why do the women have three stars on their kit?
Well, I'm assuming they just were wearing the... That's a great question, actually.
It is a good question.
I was
it?
About to say, I assume they were just wearing the same kit that was used for the photo shoot for the men, but now, then they're probably not.
I'm not saying they shouldn't have three stars on their kit... But what if the women then win the equivalent of their European competition or their league, do the men then get an extra star on their?
Well, this is it. It's a different. This is my point. This is exactly. No, they shouldn't have it on their shirt. They shouldn't have them for exactly that reason. It's a different competition.
Yeah, or maybe that's where I. Unless I'm missing something, and they've won the
European,
the women's league, well,
or the Premiership, they might have won the. There isn't a women's European.
Yeah,
cup.
They might have won.
They probably have actually. They're pretty good.
But yeah, if it's because they are now one Saracens club, then where does it stop? Do the Saracens under 18s do it?
Nah, do the two Saracens senior teams.
Do the Saracens netball team? That's a senior team.
Senior rugby teams. Maybe you go down the road of almost having like a miniature honours board on your kit. I mean, well, why not? I mean, people put the stars, European stars, on it. I'd definitely put a Premiership. If I had a Premiership trophy to my team's name, I'd have a little Premiership trophy here, then have a little star above it. So I don't see why not. And then you could have another one for the women's section. Or ladies section. Or which is it? I don't care.
Women's.
Yeah, the women's section. I've seen a problem with it, but maybe they should just clarify it a bit.
Yeah, if those
yeah,
stars...
I'd like a bit of clarification.
Yes, I would. If those three stars are on the women's jersey because of the three European Cups which the men's team have won, I don't think it should be on their kit.
I bet it's because... I bet it is because the ladies have won at least three.
I've won the what's it called? The thingy Premiership.
Terrell 15.
Terrell 15s, that's it.
Yeah.
Why do they bother with the 15s? Just call it Terrell. Like, we don't call it the Guinness 15s or the Guinness Premiership or the Gallagher.
Is it because 15s? There's 15 clubs and 15 players, obviously? Is there 15?
I think it is 15 clubs.
Yeah.
They are then. That's
so it's like calling it the Pro 14 or the Pro 12.
Well, there you go.
Or Super 15s.
Shows what I know. Any more?
Is there anything else on the list?
Oh, just there was another mention about refereeing. Unfortunately, we seem to talk about refereeing more in the build-up to this World Cup than in any previous World Cup, and that concerns me that it's going to be an issue. But World Rugby have said that any red cards
must consult the TMO. So
it's not actually to increase the amount of red cards, it sounds like it's to decrease the amount of red cards.
Yeah, if the ref gives a red card, they have to check.
It's about increasing the amount of conversations where they say, oh, I have seen this. Yes, I have also seen that.
Yeah.
Look again.
Increasing beer sales, I guess, because you're in the stadium for longer.
Yeah,
it sounds sensible to me.
It did sound quite sensible to me, that one. It'd be a minor change.
Fine.
I'd be amazed if any referees these days were going to give a red card for a high shot. Maybe there are some total blatant, no arm, straight to the head high shots.
Yeah,
I would have thought most referees will just check it just in case. Anyway,
is it a slight contradiction on previous? You're saying, oh, it's fine, it seems straightforward. But previously, and I preferred it, when it was, yes, you can check with the TMO, but it's the referee is the one. He takes... But it sort of feels like it's dialing back on that a little bit.
Maybe.
Just a little bit.
It depends. It'll probably depend how it plays out. Because if it's... What I've not liked in the past is where the TMO is... The ref has made his mind up, and the TMO is saying... Gary, I think you need to check that again.
Yeah, no, Gary, really check it.
I'm showing you, I've got a different angle
check
for you
again.
Here. Look at that.
Look at that angle, check again.
You can use the TMO positively and negatively, in my view. So a positive use of the TMO is checking before you send a player off. That's very sensible.
That's sensible, yeah.
A negative use would be to check every time a try is scored. But a positive use would be to check if you want to disallow a try.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. So your on-the-field decision is disallowed. Do you know... The best video and review system I've seen so far by a country mile is the cricket one. It's such a satisfying process. You know, I know it's a lot easier game to referee or umpire, but it's just so much more satisfying. And also, I love the jeopardy that reviews come with.
Yeah.
As Australia found out.
Yeah. Oh, what a shame.
Wasting your reviews.
Idiots. but like that would be so much better to have. Let's review that, please. So we have to have refs with a certain amount of skill. If things go by the by, fine. I like the gamesmanship which, you know, is involved there. If it's serious foul play, that can be reviewed by experts later on. That would be my preferred way. And then if they want to review, So over to you, boys.
So you just mentioned the serious foul play reviewed by experts later on.
Yeah.
There's some talk about...
Taburn.
No, Toner.
Toner, yeah.
The Devin Toner.
Dropping the shoulder on the try line.
Yeah. And making contact with the head. It's just... It'll be
another neck area.
It'll be another interesting one to see if it does get cited because the
if he was French, it would.
Oh, his that yeah. guy.
But if he's Dan Bigger, no, and yeah. if he's Ken Owens, nope. no, and
no
if,
chance.
And the Irish fella last week, Rob Carney, no.
Yeah.
Yep, I agree with that. The French guy has had his ban rescinded though, hasn't
no,
he?
No, reduced.
Or reduced.
Which is, it is an interesting one. He's had it reduced from. So it was 10 to 6 weeks for pleading guilty and...
10 to 6 weeks.
So 10 to 6 weeks initially
yeah.
for pleading guilty and no track record. And it's gone from 6 to 3 weeks now based on previous
So
precedent.
That it doesn't cost him a place in a World Cup squad, which is probably World Rugby... Well, no, actually, I don't know why. World Rugby have come to that decision, however they've come to
yeah.
it. But I'm glad. I mean, if I was at World Rugby, I would have been looking at Ken Owens... and Rob Carney and the other one and Devin Toner, and I would be going, oh, I wouldn't want to cost that fella his World Cup.
Do you think, right, that it is more effective to ban players from games or to do what the NFL does, which is take their money away from them? Because I know what I would... Not playing a game and getting paid is far better than playing and not getting paid.
Do you remember that? I can't remember who it was. I think there was a footballer who... deliberately got himself, but players have spoken about deliberately getting themselves yellow carded so they're suspended during a certain period of time so they can go on holiday or stuff like that.
Well, like in the Premier League, is it 5 yellow cards lead to a one game ban? And then if you get another 5 or another certain amount more, you get a 3 game ban after that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that sounds good.
I just had a really good thought, but it's escaped me. Because I've just had a message that there's an attempted break in at number 10. No, never mind.
What?
We're number 5, right?
We're number 5.
Yes.
Don't worry, we're tooled up.
Did you get, because you looked at your watch for that, are you on some little special special group?
No little...
You've got your notifications set up. Straight from Dominic Cummins. Straight to your phone.
What was I going to say then? It was absolutely critical. No, it's gone, never mind. Right, well, that's it.
Yep. See you on the... Right, live podcast, podcastlive.com.
Yes.
Come and join us.
I'm not sure you can you?
Yes, you can.
I'm pretty sure we're sold out. But if we're not, we're very close. So.
Oh, yeah, we are close. Oh, yeah, good point, actually. Listen, if you're at loose end Saturday the 7th of September, go check.
You might be able to.
Podcastlive.com. Come and see us at Twickenham.
And what should you be wearing at Twickenham?
I've just tried. There are tickets available. There's actually a good deal on. 2 for £70, it looks like.
Very nice.
Yeah.
And what should you be wearing when you come to said live podcast?
You can wear the usual rugby attire, a barber, a tweed jacket.
Nice.
We might be wearing some tweed.
Red caps saying make rugby great again.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Alternatively, you could go to akumashops.com egg chasers and you could buy a lovely merino wool.
Fantastic.
Egg chasers jersey. You could even get one for your better half.
Yes, you could. And both. Both will have 3 stars on. Men's and women's.
You want to make a good impression at Twickenham, bearing in mind it's where, you know, you want to be part of the
establishment.
The quote unquote old farts.
Yep.
So what are you gonna wear to make a great impression?
Ooh, well, you'll have to wait and see. Hey, buy your tickets and find out. That's what I'd say.
Yeah.
Maybe a long red tie, maybe a red tie which is a little bit too long.
podcastlive.com. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you on the next one. Let the boys play.
Let the boys play.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus,
Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.